Welcome back to the show. Let's talk to City correspondent Simon English. He works for the Evening Standard. Simon, you wrote a piece last night and the headlines, "We'd love to see Goodwin grilled, but he's foolish, not crooked." And obviously this is about Mr. Fred Goodwin. We've got the High Court. We've got a share bid in place. We've got allegedly some sort of cover-ups and the likes. What's your take?
Well, the accusation is that he lied to investors before he went to them in 2008 for a £12 billion rights issue. The shareholders say he knew the bank was bust and he legged us over. And there's a chance he might have to defend himself in court. My argument in the piece, which I've got to say was not very popular with RBS investors, you should have just seen my mailbox. My argument was that obviously he was foolish. He was a man in the wrong job. And he's a very arrogant, unpleasant bloke from my personal dealings with him.
Unpleasant bloke.
Oh, awful. Right. It doesn't follow from that that he had criminal intent here. And they're alleging fraud. It's quite hard to prove. So I was arguing that if we do get to see him in court, it doesn't follow that you'll necessarily be able to see them landing any blows on him.
Right. In terms of his qualifications to do that job, what does his curriculum vitae read in terms of O-levels and GCSEs and the likes?
I imagine he got some O-levels. Interestingly, he didn't have a banking qualification. So he was I think he qualified in law, and then he had a chartered accountancy degree. And then he was a banker at Clydesdale Bank, I think, and his career just took off. And in retrospect, you know, that was just a matter of fluke. But there was a period when he did seem like the banker of the age. His best and most famous deal was he managed to take over NatWest for £21 billion. It was this extraordinary deal. This little Scottish bank takes over NatWest. It was a remarkable coup. And his kind of image, reputation was cemented at that point, and people thought he could do no wrong, and people were wrong.
Well, I remember being in a trading room when the Royal Bank went for ABN, AMRO, and everyone rang the bell and said, "That's the top of the market."
So it was. I mean, it was extraordinary, actually. I think that, it's interesting you say that the trading rooms knew. Newspapers didn't. There was just a bit of, that's an awful lot of money to spend on a bank you don't really know. But at that point, Goodwin's rep stock was so high, at least on Fleet Street, that it looked like another coup. He's gonna pull off this amazing thing. And I think we didn't think hard enough, and certainly Fred Goodwin didn't think hard enough, whether it was sensible for this originally relatively small Scottish bank to suddenly be the biggest, you know, financial institution
in
the
world. Right?
So how can that be right?
Okay, so my last question, if I give you two beer vouchers, would you invite Freddie for a drink?
I'd love to have a drink with him, and I actually occasionally have asked. It doesn't have to be a drink, just a chat. So he's never explained himself. He's never sort of said, "Look, here's how it seemed to me, here's how it happened." And I guess he has been advised that that's not a conversation he's ever going to, it's not an argument he's ever going to win. And he's not going to win it, but he could redeem himself a bit if he just at least seemed to be a bit human, seemed to realise and recognise that he made a load of mistakes. And I think one of the reasons that he's never spoken is that he isn't there yet. He still thinks he's a victim of this unfair process, which obviously is absurd.
Simon, thank you very much indeed.